We had many, many sponsors. Among these people, these organizations didn't co-sponsor every year, but they co-sponsored at least once, or perhaps more than once. Underground Railroad History Project, Workforce Development Local 471, Iron Workers Local Number 12, IBEW 36, CWA Local 1118, United University Professionals, Capital District Labor Religion Coalition, a number of assembly members, ABSTA, SEIU, Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, ICIT, the Capital District Area Labor Federations, CSEA, CBTU, some peace groups, Women Against War, Upper Hudson Peace Action, Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace, and the Palestinian Rights Committee, which I consider a peace group. Then last year we had some new sponsors, Nature Lab Health Autonomy Network, Team Hero, and the Sanctuary for Independent Media. So we've had quite a history. Several years we had an essay contest where we invited middle school or high school students from Albany schools, public schools, to write an essay on the theme of the event, and then we awarded small prizes. We had a poster contest at least once. Each year we served food at the event.
Right.
The people who organized the event each year was just a continuously changing group of people. We had tabling at the event, social justice groups, labor groups, peace groups. Basically anybody who wanted to could bring their literature or a few things to sell, and we would set up tables for them. And they could, you know, table and network, and, you know, you've probably been to lots of tabling events where people do a lot of networking. And,
right.
You know, some people love to table. Had films at some of the events, short films about Martin Luther King.
Right. Tom, this event was the event for the whole Capital Region, right?
Yes. Up until... They were always held in Albany up until last year when it was held in Troy for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right, so but it still was a Capital Region event.
Yes, it was a Capital Region event for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
We held it after we moved from Toast over to Hackett Middle School for several years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tom, I want to say that we talking about the history of the Martin Luther King events in Albany. You down packed. You're gonna lay it out, really laid it out. But I wanted to ask you this question too. Now, this year, you know, the Martin Luther King event is gonna have to be radically different than from previous events due to the COVID situation.
Right.
So. You know, so what kind of organizing are y'all going to be able to do in this type of atmosphere that we have today to put on the MLK?
Well, it's going to be a Zoom event this time.
Okay.
Which is a much different kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be similar to the one we did a year ago,
mm-hmm.
but different. The one we did a year ago was the most interactive event that we've done yet,
mm-hmm.
where 200 or so people packed the Sanctuary for Independent Media, and every person who attended was invited to participate, and I would say the overwhelming majority of them did, but it was a face-to-face event. Organizing things on Zoom is a much different project because people are sitting in 100 or 200 different places, and they're not in that close proximity, so there's a lot
right.
that gets lost, I think.
Yeah, we got
when something is done virtually compared to when something is done in person.
Right, we're in the era of virtual organizing now. We have to do things
I
like that.
The
right?
intensity and the
mm-hmm.
excitement of it all, and the
right.
camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. Now I see
think a lot of that's going to be lost.
Yeah.
And but that's just the way it has to be this
right.
time.
Right.
Hopefully by next year, at the beginning of 2022, the coronavirus will be behind us. And we'll be able to do a face-to-face event.
Right. Now, Tom,
yeah.
I see the theme is Rise Up, the Struggle Continues.
Rise Up, the Struggle Continues.
Yeah, so explain that to the audience.
struggle for civil rights and peace and justice and all of the issues that Martin Luther King worked on. Mm-hmm. He truly had a long-term agenda and a vision. He knew that he wouldn't live, even if he lived to be 100 years old, he knew that he wouldn't live to see his agenda fully implemented. But that's, you know, that's just the way it is. We all work on causes that are going to outlive us. Clearly, the struggle for civil rights and peace and justice have taken a hit during the last 4 years in the United States. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Trump's going to be gone in 9 more days, and I don't think he's ever going to come back. And Biden certainly isn't any perfect or ideal candidate, but we're going to have a black woman as vice president. And that's certainly the first time we've had a woman or a black woman or an Asian American woman as a vice president. I think that's superb. I think she's likely to be the next president after Biden. And, you know, we don't know for sure what they're going to do or how much, what risks they're going to take. Mm-hmm. But I think there's no question that they're going to be an improvement over what we've got now. And, you know, the struggle obviously continues.
Right.
One problem I see in the United States in the last couple of years, and especially the last year, is that the wealth gap that exists in this country has become enormous. And in the last 10 months, the tech companies have earned hundreds of billions of dollars. And the owners of these tech companies, who are already worth $50 or $100 billion, are have increased their personal wealth even by like a third in less than a year. So we have these huge inequalities in wealth in the United States between the billionaires and the rest of us. But we also have huge wealth inequalities in the United States between black families and white families. The average white family in the United States has 10 or 11 times as much accumulated wealth as the average black family or Latina family in the United States. And the numbers are like the average white family has about $150,000 in net wealth, maybe $160,000. That would be all of their assets minus all of their liabilities. And the average black family in the United States has less than $15,000 in net wealth. And there's, you know, that's just unacceptable. We need to find some way as a society to vastly increase the wealth of the black families, bring it up towards that of the white families. At the same time, we need to make sure that we're not reducing the wealth of the average white families. We need to redistribute the wealth, and we need to take that political power. And I think that we need to start confiscating the wealth from the billionaires. There's just no reason why people should have tens or hundreds of billions of dollars in personal wealth, because with all that wealth comes tremendous amounts of political power. And I don't think that we can have a functioning republic when we've got people who are as wealthy as Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Zuckerberg or these other guys. It's, we got to close that wealth gap. We cannot allow this to go on,
right,
or we're going to fail as a nation.
All right.
So that, for me, that's a big part of the struggle.
Right.
We have to increase the wealth of black families, and we have to decrease vastly the wealth of the billionaires.
Okay. Rise up. The struggle continues. And
I mean, obviously, that's not going to be easy to do.
Right.
The public, I think, would strongly support it.
Right. And Tom, just one last question I want to ask you. And just give us just the day and times of the meeting, of the Zoom meeting.
The Martin Luther King Labor and Community, let me say it again, Martin Luther King Holiday Labor and Community Celebration will occur on Monday, a week from today, which is the holiday, from 11 to 1 o'clock or 1:15. In the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And people can learn, people can register for it, and they can access it through the website of the Sanctuary for Independent Media.
Mm-hmm.
And that website is mediasanctuary.org.
Okay. All right. All right, Tom. We done got a history of this, of the Martin Luther King holiday celebration in Albany. And when you going to be writing that book on this, Tom?
I was thinking about that today.
That's a history. And then that's
I could probably write a pamphlet or a brochure about the Martin Luther King event, mm-hmm. and why I got involved in it, and why it's important to continue it.
Right, we must continue that, you know, because he was a great person, along with all.
Think that we're on a roll now. No, we did it for 15 or 16 years, then we missed a year, and another year, then we missed 2 years, unfortunately. But now this is our second year in a row, and I think we're going to run again for another 10 or 15 years at least with this event.
Okay.
It's surely needed. And I think there's a lot of participate, a lot of interest in it, and a lot of desire to have these events, but also to do work during the year, between the holiday celebrations, okay. hold seminars and workshops, and organize so that we can achieve goals that we talk about during the celebrations.
Okay. All right. And there you have it, Tom Ellis. Longtime organizer in the Solidarity Committee of the Capital District, an environmental fighter, and also an educator. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks very much.